Top of the morning, everyone. Well, today we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But first, before I get into my little sermon this morning, I wanted to share with you a discussion that we had with our parish council that met this past Tuesday night. So this is about the parish festival. And the things that we discussed is we're living during a time when people have many more options than they did in the 1800s or even the 1950s. As a result, virtually all parishes have seen significantly less participation and therefore have moved to other options for fundraising. So St. Peter's in Ashton is doing that this coming year. They're discontinuing their parish festival for the same reason. Income from our festival has been dropping significantly while being very labor intensive for the amount of income gained. So most parishes do not do festivals any longer unless they're very large or they have a big school or something like that and they can draw from a huge volunteer pool. Add to this that we have in our parish a few of the people that have been in leadership positions for the festival. God love them. They have worked their hearts out for many years, but virtually all at the same time have said that they'd like to do less this year and move out of leadership position, take a reduced role. And also, we no longer get the chicken donated for our chicken dinner. So all of this said to us, it's time to move on from the parish festivals to some other great ideas. And so everyone agreed that these new ideas could easily match or even exceed the income that we get by the parish festival. What we want to do instead, beginning this year, you know how in June we've had our beautiful potluck picnic and it's virtually non-labor intensive. I mean, guys flip burgers in the grills and stuff like that. But we just have a lot of fun enjoying each other, all right? And so our parish feast day, the official name of St. Mary's is St. Mary of the Assumption, okay? Because our parish feast day is the Feast of the Assumption on August 15th. That's why we have the festival on the second Sunday in August always. So we pick the Sunday that's closest to our parish feast day. So we want to do the same. But we want to move that picnic from the end of June to that second Sunday in August and just celebrate each other, have a beautiful potluck. Again, not labor intensive, not looking to make any money during that time. I mean, we might do a little raffle or something like that, but I don't know if we even do that. But just to share our community with each other. But then in the fall, thanks to a family that won from a raffle, they run from a company that runs what's called these trivia nights. Now, I have never been to one, but I've heard amazing things about them. They're just so much fun, I hear. So we're gonna thanks to that beautiful family that is donating that raffle prize to our parish, we're gonna hold that and let that be a fundraiser in the fall. And I guess if it's run the right way, it can be a nice fundraiser for the parish. The other thing we're doing is some spring event, and I'm just leaving it at that because we're in the brainstorming stages, but some of the ideas are just amazing. And so look forward to something like that. I don't want to say what it's going to be, what it might change to something else, because again, we're in brainstorming stages, but we're going to move to that. And collectively, we all believe that with these couple of fundraisers, we could easily match or exceed the income that we gain from the festival. So not to worry about money gained from that. So that's where we're at. And so again, thanks to so many people who have worked so hard to keep that festival going when, as a small parish, virtually no small parish had a festival going as long as we did. And thank you so much. All right, so for our gospel, we see the Transfiguration. You know, this particular gospel, usually when I did the Latin Mass this morning too, usually when I have the Latin Mass, the two gospels are different. Today they're the same. Okay, the Transfiguration of our Lord. But I was led to key on who was invited. Okay, who was? Well, it was kind of Jesus' inner circle, right? So Peter, James, and John. So our first pope and the sons of thunders, Boanerges. The sons of thunder, Jesus called them. Well, why? Because they just went in, okay? They just wanted to do it. And so, same with Peter. And I'm convinced that the reason why Jesus had these three as his inner circle is because of their zeal, okay? Their willingness to do it, their willingness to go in. Now, Jesus had to temper that, okay? He loved that they're going in, but how they go in is a little different. You might recall in the gospel story where Jesus wasn't being well received by the Samaritans, right? A little bit of anti-Semitism or something going on there. And James and God come to Jesus, should we have balls of fire thrown down on them? And so Jesus had to rebuke them and say, you know, no, we're not into the balls of fire thing, okay? There's other ways, okay? But in this case, they just moved to a different town. Right? Remember, Jesus would say, you know, listen, I'm going to try my best with you, but sometimes you just got to shake the dust off your sandals and try over here instead. Okay? So that's, and listen, we're not called to, this is a quote I have, in our mission, it's not for us to win the argument, okay? Well, you better believe us or we're going to throw balls of fire down on you, you know? We're gonna make life horrible for you. We're going to ridicule you because you don't believe what we believe. You know, that's never been Jesus' way. And James and John and Peter wanted to do something, anything. But before they were introduced to the way of Jesus, they were thinking the ways of the world. Right? Remember, James and John came up to Jesus. Hey, come here once. But when we come into their glory, can we sit one on your right and one on your left? Yeah, they wanted, you know, they wanted the power, right? It's the way of the world. And Jesus, he didn't really rebuke them in that moment. I always like to think that he gave a little giggle. Okay, guys, right? All right, hey, can you drink the cup that I drink from? Can you be baptized from the baptism from which I'm going to be baptized? Yeah, we can. Of course, they didn't know what they were talking about, you know? And then he said, you will be, all right? You will be, trust me, okay? And it would end up that James would actually be the first martyr among the apostles, right? Peter, you know, executed upside down, crucified upside down, our first pope of the church. John was given the beautiful, you know, I love John. Somebody saved a statue of John from a local church. They were getting ready to throw it out. And the paint's all gone, and I got to get it refinished. But it's sitting in my private chapel right now. It's John. I'm like, yes, I want this statue. It's John the Beloved. I mean, I love John, but look at what John was given. He was given the wonderful, beautiful task of taking care of the Mother of God. You know? This is John the Beloved that you see that beautiful painting of the Last Supper by Da Vinci, that he's laying his head on the breast of Jesus, literally hearing the heartbeat of the second person of the Holy Trinity. John's awesome. John's awesome. So what was it that drew them to Christ's inner circle, that they would even be invited for that agony in the garden, right? I mean, they just were the closest to, what was it? It was their zeal. It was their zeal. Now, sometimes the how of how we want to do what we want to do with that zeal has to be tempered. Yeah, I've seen people where they latch on to traditionalism for the first time, and then they go around, I'm traditional, you're not. You know, look how superior we are to you. Okay. Well, I appreciate your zeal, all right? But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Now, I said, our mission is not to win the argument. Our mission is to win souls for Christ, to his truth, to his love. It's a very difficult mission. We're facing incredible, mighty forces. The mainstream media, Hollywood, universities, academia. But... and this is the key to the transfiguration and their invitation to this. Jesus wanted in that inner circle of our first pope and the sons of thunder, right? He says, I love your zeal. I need that zeal. You know, I don't want you just to settle to be a face in the crowd. okay? Just punching a clock. I need you to want to lead, want to charge in. I need that. I need that. But here's what you need to know. And in our times, might say this to us, of all the mainstream media, of all of Hollywood, of all of academia, it's but a gnat in comparison to what you have. And so he transfigured himself before them to make them convinced of what they had. We have the supernatural power of God. You can take your mainstream media, you can take your Hollywood, you can take your academia. Today, too, we celebrate the feast of St. Patrick. If you read some of his writing, as I was reviewing some of it this morning, but a lot of it is, hey, listen, I'm going in, no matter how much you ridicule me, no matter how much you threaten me, because he was going into pagan Ireland. And they will have nothing of this silly Christianity. How sad it is that Ireland needs another St. Patrick today. America needs another St. Patrick today. We become pagans again because of these forces indoctrinating through mainstream media, Hollywood, academia. God needs sons and daughters of thunder. Keep praying. Keep loving. And never contradict who you are. A precious and loved child of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.